All right, all you positive heads, welcome, welcome. Here we grow again. Grateful to be back with you as always, and I am extra excited today to announce that over the next seven episodes, the next seven Monday and Friday episodes, not Wednesday, the Soul Share episode days, I'm going to be reading my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. And for those of you who aren't aware of the book, it is my 25 years of deep exploration, everything we talk about on the show, sort of condensed into, you know, just over three hours to listen to, 100 pages to read, and my, you know, what I see as the keys to alchemize and unlock infinite abundance in our life. And in an aim to, in an effort to do that for myself, as I was, you know, setting out to, here we are, a fresh year. It's always an opportunity to reevaluate things. It's the beginning of 2022. And one of the things that occurred to me is, well, one, not only have I not read The Golden Key on Positive Head yet, but I haven't actually, for those of you who have read it or will hear me reading it here in the coming episodes, I haven't done the game fully. Transparent moment. I haven't done the game with the universe, the ritual action plan at the end of the book. I mean, I've done all of the exercises many, many times, but I haven't done them consecutively for 88 days, like I suggest doing at the end of the book. So in an effort to be more mindful in the new year and, you know, walk the talk even more fully, I thought, you know what, now's the time. Let's read the book. Let's invite the listeners who haven't heard the book, of course, to hear it, and then join me in the Golden Game Keymasters private Facebook group. I'd like to invite everyone participating, listening to this audiobook to join for free. And then at the end of reading, completing the book, which I will synchronistically finish on January 28th, 2022, 1 year to the day since I released the book, which was January 28th, 2021. So I want to invite everyone between now and then to join the Facebook group. And you can find the link in the show notes and all the, you know, show notes for the upcoming parts of the book over the seven episodes. And just join up, and then I'll let everyone in on the 28th, and then we can proceed to participate in these this ritual action plan that I put together and hold each other accountable and you know, inspire each other and share our own types of abundance that we're looking to call in, and, you know, any sort of inspirational things that have happened. And, you know, as you'll see, the over the 88 days, the different techniques and things that I share in the book, they're pretty easy, and it's literally a few minutes commitment a day. But, you know, over that time period, 88 days is not a short time period. So I want to do it together, invite you guys to, let's all be a part of it and support one another. If you're hearing this and it's, you know, episode three or part three, you can always go back and listen. Just you'll see, I'll label them each one, part one, part two, part three, you know, seven total. Or you can go to goldenkey.gift, use the code POSITIVEHEAD and get the audio and or ebook for free there as well with that code. And then you can listen at your own pace. But hope to have a lot of you join in the Facebook group, and let's just like support each other in calling in the maximum amount of abundance, unlocking the infinite abundance that is our birthright. I am infinite abundance. I am that which I seek, and so are you. Hope you guys enjoy part four of The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance.
The sixth key, trust the mystery. The bad news is you're falling through the air, nothing to hang on to, no parachute. The good news is there's no ground. Chogyam Trungpa. Beam me up, whoever you are. In my all-time favorite television show, Star Trek Discovery, the main character, Michael Burnham, is a science-centric, highly rational cosmic explorer who navigates through life on the assumption that everything mysterious ultimately has a scientific explanation. However, after a myriad of intense and inexplicable experiences transpire, her outlook slowly shifts, and she opens up to more mystical possibilities. She comes to terms with the truth that the more you know, the more you realize you don't know, and that that's okay. At a crucial moment in the narrative, when all anchors to her known reality are rapidly disintegrating, she accepts her fate that taking a leap of faith is apparently what she is meant to do. She then turns to her crew members just before her leap into the unknown and says, "Trust the mystery." Her words rang out to me like a bell of universal truth. Rock solid. As mentioned in the introduction, some of you may have expected this book to at least touch upon more typical techniques to help you achieve external success through manipulation of external circumstances. But as you can see, this book is focused on sharing key shifts in perspective that fortify your foundation within so that you can build lasting success and abundance regardless of external indicators like your job title or salary. As Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." As you begin to implement the keys in this book to fortify your foundation on the rock of your reality, you will begin to attract and train yourself to identify the unwavering abundance that appears in countless forms regardless of external circumstances. Sure, you may unexpectedly lose a job or a partner may suddenly leave you, but you will learn to trust the mystery that fresh opportunities will always and inevitably present themselves. As you learn to trust everything, oftentimes completely unforeseen circumstances will arise that lead you to greater abundance than you ever could have found had you been on your previous path. In the new world that we are collectively stepping into, your primary job is way less about learning new stock tips and much more about managing your vibration, learning to trust your intuition, and identifying when it is time to take inspired action and then follow the breadcrumbs of abundance that the universe ever increasingly leaves for you upon your infinite trail. Paranoid breakdown. Anxiety disorders are the most common type of mental illness in the U.S., affecting at least 40 million adults age 18 and older every year. However, as we begin to unlock our lives with the keys in this book, we slowly move from a state of paranoia to a state of pronoia. It is believed the word pronoia originally appeared in an academic journal in 1982 in an article titled "Pronoia," published by Fred H. Goldner. Another great example of a person whose name suggests something about their contribution to the world. This golden word is the opposite of paranoia, and essentially means that you are highly suspicious that the universe is conspiring on your behalf. I definitely experience pronoia because I firmly believe that life is happening for me, not to me. And as the paranoia of disconnection begins to dissipate, and you begin understanding that the universe is seeking to evolve itself through you, you can relax in the knowledge that everything is leading you to the next greatest and grandest version of yourself. Realize your only job is to follow the breadcrumbs of experience like a curious child asking the most pertinent of questions. Why is this happening for me? Once you start seeing through this lens that life is happening for you, not to you, you will inevitably observe for yourself that applying this approach and perspective to the events that transpire in your life is the ultimate game changer. Mirror, mirror on the wall. To take it a step further, I believe that life is not only happening for you, but it is also happening through you. Your reality is simply a feedback loop reflecting you back to you for your own good and growth. Have you ever considered that the guy agitatedly cutting you off on the freeway could actually be a mirror for your own agitation? that perhaps he is reflecting your own irritation back to you that you felt earlier that morning when you excitedly prepared your delicious Eggo waffle only to discover someone had used the last of your maple syrup. In that moment on the freeway, unbeknownst to him, he is serving as a reflection for you. He is giving you the opportunity to see yourself so that you may choose to consciously proact as opposed to unconsciously react to similar situations with others in the future. This will help you to process and release that energy that you have been putting out to the universe as it comes back to you, and even more importantly, become more aware and intentional about the energy you are putting out to begin with. In this way, I believe that every interaction with another human holds a gift for us. The great Persian poet Hafiz alluded to this truth when he said, "How do I listen to others? As if everyone were my master, speaking to me his cherished last words." Who would have thought a guy giving you the middle finger out of his car window could be a cherished master? As you start to ponder the profound perspective that your triggers are your treasures, and that everyone around you is playing both the role of the teacher and the student simultaneously, you will come to understand the divine dichotomy that everything is personal from one vantage point and not at all personal from another. It's all just spiritual business. Everything which transpires is just a feedback loop informing you where you are on your life's path, essentially acting as your soul's unwavering compass. Perhaps this is the syrup your waffle has been missing all along. Sweet synchronicity. Modern polymath Robert Grant was quite perceptive when he said, "Randomness is simply mankind's inability to perceive and comprehend God's patterned encryption." What I believe Grant is alluding to here is that there is always a deeper meaning in what may otherwise appear random or merely coincidental. Synchronicity is a term coined by the famed psychiatrist Carl Jung, who defined it as a meaningful coincidence. For me, receiving a synchronicity is like getting a wink from the universe that I am on track with my highest potential timeline. Jung also said, "Synchronicity is an ever-present reality for those who have eyes to see." I see it as the feedback loop reflecting all the magic that is inherent in existence back to me in a very playful and inspiring way. As we become more childlike in our playful, trusting approach to life, the universe starts playing back. And as you begin to get into the flow of your life and learn to trust the mystery, that's when the synchronicities really kick into high gear. At this point in my personal journey, I experience smaller winks pretty much daily and awe-inspiring synchronicities fairly regularly. To give you just a few examples of how synchronicity can inspire you on your journey, I will share a few that I experienced during the creation of this book. First, the concept for the book and the unique way with which I am inviting readers to play with the key perspectives I share came to me in a dream. I believe that when you come into greater alignment, the dream state becomes a way that your higher self, source, the universe communicates with you to help steer you on your path. Upon waking from this prophetic dream, I pondered what I would name my book. The name, The Golden Key, immediately came to my mind. So I did an internet search to see if anyone had already used the name for anything else, and the first thing I found was a short essay titled The Golden Key, published in 1931 by Emmett Fox. Now, I didn't know who Emmett Fox was at the time, but a bit more research revealed that he is one of the first New Thought spiritual leaders who helped to bridge the gap between religion and the spirituality-based concepts we are exploring in this book. I was amazed when I read the summary of his essay and saw that in it, he shares a technique for how you can overcome any issue in your life by shifting your focus to God, which essentially elevates your vibration by aligning you with Source. He then invites people to simply try it for yourself and see, in a playful, gamified way, quite similar to the way in which I was guided in my dream to invite you to play a game with these eight key perspectives, as detailed at goldenkey.gift and at the end of this book. That was the first golden synchronicity. To me, a synchronicity as profound as this is a clear indication that I am on the right path. An even more profound synchronicity unfolded when I reached out to my good friend, an incredible visionary artist, Vajra, to see if he'd be open to creating the cover art for the book. Initially, I hesitated reaching out to him because I was concerned that my tight time frame for completing and publishing the book would conflict with his lengthy artistic process. However, after some consideration, I decided to reach out. When we got on the phone, I told him about my dream, my concept for the book, and the Emmett Fox synchronicity. After I was done explaining it all to him, he quickly proceeded to pull out his dream journal to read me his notes from a very elaborate dream he'd had a few months earlier, in which he was at my house searching for what in the dream was called the key to everything. The dream had been so impactful and inspiring to him that he had already started working on a drawing of the key to everything. After recounting his dream and describing his drawing of the key, he said, "So, to answer your question, will I have enough time to create your cover art? Well, I've already started it." Unbeknownst to me, the universe had magically set the wheels in motion months earlier so that my cover could be completed on time, which ultimately was made possible with some collaborative assistance from my other brilliant artist friend, Dalian. Following that initial conversation with my friend Vajra, I remember feeling a sense of wonder and awe for the mystery of the universe. This epic synchronicity was a potent reminder to me to trust the mystery. There have been many more synchronicities surrounding the creation of this book, too many to recount here, but I will share one final synchronicity story with you, if only to spark your imagination and inspire you to begin to recognize the synchronicities in your own life that will surely continue to grow as you continue to grow. It occurred when I was listening to music while driving one day soon after beginning to write this book. I was thinking about the book, how I would share about it on my show Optimistic, and getting excited imagining the success and abundance that would flow to many people from its creation. The song Humble in the Jungle, a Murillo song that samples the Kendrick Lamar lyric, "My left stroke just went viral," jumped out to me as slightly synchronistic as I am left-handed and I had just been daydreaming about my writing, i.e. pen strokes, going viral. This little wink from the universe, combined with the pleasure I naturally derive from driving and listening to music, got me into a heightened state of joyous excitement. As I continued to play with this expansive idea, my excitement grew, and I began to fantasize about one day having a party celebrating the book's success. Perhaps I could DJ, I thought, and I would definitely play this song. Then in true childlike fashion, I dreamed of how behind the DJ booth, I would have a screen set up with visuals playing. This made me think of a clip from an Incubus music video made 20 years ago that shows two hands drawing themselves in an Escher-esque fashion. I thought how perfect this would be to have those hands drawing on the screen as a fun representation of what the lyric meant to me, with a golden key incorporated into the image as well. After about 5 minutes of joyfully imagining this scenario while driving in my car, I finally arrived at my destination. When I got inside, I sat down and opened Instagram on my phone. At the top of my feed was an animated drawing posted from Brandon Boyd, lead singer of Incubus, of a left hand holding an epic-looking antique key, and the animated portion of the drawing was spelling out the letters OPTIMYSTIC, Optimistic. Not to mention I had originally gotten the idea for naming my show, Optimistic, from Brandon Boyd after I was led to it in dramatic fashion via another dream several years earlier. And now I'm getting chills in the moment as I write these words because it just occurred to me that the song for the Incubus video is called Drive, and this synchronicity story began while I was having a powerful experience driving. Lastly, one of the main lyrics in the song is, "Whatever tomorrow brings, I'll be there, with open arms and open eyes," which is essentially another way of saying, trust the mystery. I could honestly write an entire book of incredible synchronicities that have unfolded in my life. The main point I want to drive home to all of you reading these words is that this sort of magic is in no way special to me. Synchronicity is just a byproduct of what occurs energetically when you begin to use the keys in this book to unlock infinite abundance. I would go so far as to say you are hearing these words because you are on the verge of stepping into this next level flow of synchronicity and magic in your own life. However, to do so, it is of vital importance that you begin to trust yourself more fully, trust the mystery, and that you don't let fear take the wheel and steer, as another lyric in the song Drive states. And quite possibly my favorite quote of all time, Terence McKenna sums up this key perfectly when he said, "Nature loves courage. You make the commitment and nature will respond to that commitment by removing impossible obstacles. Dream the impossible dream and the world will not grind you under, it will lift you up. This is the trick. This is what all these teachers and philosophers who really counted, who really touched the alchemical gold, this is what they understood. This is the shamanic dance in the waterfall. This is how magic is done, by hurling yourself into the abyss and discovering it's a feather bed." If you can begin to approach obstacles in this fashion, you truly can alchemize the circumstances of your life into gold. Now is the time for you to trust the mystery and dance in the waterfall of existence. The seventh key, love what comes. Love is the answer. Now, what was the question? John Lennon, remixed by Brandon Beecham. Face everything and rise. When you boil life down to its essence, there are only two true emotions. Or as John Lennon puts it, there are two basic motivating forces, fear and love. When we are afraid, we pull back from life. When we are in love, we open to all that life has to offer with passion, excitement, and acceptance. The reality is, circumstances will arise that will create fear in our hearts, making us want to withdraw from life. However, we actually have another choice, to love what comes by turning toward our fears instead of away. F-E-A-R can either mean forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And it's up to you to decide. Award-winning poet and mystic Richard Rudd suggests the incredibly empowering notion that fear is safe. This may seem counterintuitive, but the fact of the matter is, fear is nothing more than a necessary tool that allows us to experience love. The truth is, the ultimate nature of reality is foundationally based in love, and everything that is happening for love. In essence, love is the only thing that's real, and everything else is just a prop in love's epic movie. I like to say our role as modern spiritual alchemists is to sift and shift perspectives until love emerges. Imagine treating anyone that came your way who is ugly, mean, or unkind the same way you would treat an animal you found caught in a trap. It would snarl at you if you approached and attempted to set it free, but only because it is wounded and scared. As the book A Course in Miracles puts it, what people do is either an act of love or a cry for love. So, as you adopt this expanded view and commit to not only act from love, but also love what comes in any situation, you open the door to a greater flow of abundance because you have effectively alchemized the situation into an experience that inevitably yields benefit, sometimes in unexpected ways. However, if all is one and love is all there is, then at some point in the eternally unfolding screenplay of existence, love would lose its luster and eventually become meaningless. You see, without the contrast of the dark, there can be no light, just like you can't have up without down or hot without cold. So instead of fearing the darkness, what if we consider that it is actually a gift in disguise that allows us to not only experience the light, but also experience the joy of transmuting the darkness into light? What if you invited your demons to tea, only to discover that they just needed a little sugar? By adopting this perspective, it allows us to see the value of life's shadows. If you think about it, you have never seen a beautiful work of art without shadows in it, have you? And your life is your soul's epic masterpiece. I firmly believe this is how all the great masters molded their own lives into masterpieces, by learning to love what comes. Or to quote John Lennon again, "Evolution and all hopes for a better world rest in the fearlessness and open-hearted vision of people who embrace life." We simply can't afford to run from fear any longer. It's time to embrace everything and rise. In the event of a loss of cabin pressure. During a flight, just prior to takeoff, the flight attendant instructs you that if the cabin should lose air pressure, always put on your own oxygen mask first before assisting others. Similarly, if you want to not only survive, but abundantly thrive, I believe it is of paramount importance that you cultivate self-love first and foremost, because when we have love for ourselves, it is easier for us to courageously face our fears and love what comes. As humans, we have widely varied life purposes, but I believe the number one thing we are all here to unlock is self-love. Realize that you are your own soulmate, and self-love is the ultimate love story. And this realization starts by loving yourself exactly where you are and accepting that you are perfectly imperfect. A key ingredient to manifesting the abundance you deserve is feeling you are worthy of whatever you are asking for. And the truth is that a more divine creation than you has never been created. And it is time that you wake up and embrace the power of this realization. Self-loathing, self-judgment, and self-deprecation don't have a place in the future where you are headed. Those thoughts and ideas served you well in the past to provide contrast and lead you up to this point, but they were based in misunderstanding the true nature of the situation in which you find yourself. Esther Hicks is an inspirational speaker and author who claims to channel Abraham, a group consciousness from the non-physical dimension, under the pseudonym Abraham Hicks. Abraham Hicks has said, "Appreciation and self-love are the most important aspects you could ever nurture. Appreciation of others and the appreciation of yourself are the closest vibrational matches to source energy of anything we have ever witnessed anywhere in this universe." What Abraham is proclaiming is that you are a divine being, one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things. And when you choose to step into self-love, you are aligning yourself with source, allowing yourself to be open to the infinite gifts and abundance inherent within us all. Let your heart overflow. In the book, The Untethered Soul, author Michael Singer talks about the importance of maintaining an open heart, and he doesn't just mean figuratively. He suggests that our heart is essentially the energetic conduit through which life force energy from source flows. He also suggests that having an open heart is equivalent to having an open valve that allows in the abundant life force energy that emanates from source. And he goes on to say that most of us are unaware of how frequently we are opening and closing this valve. If we smell a familiar smell that reminds us of a good childhood memory, our hearts open. If someone says something we don't like, our hearts close. On and on we go all day, every day, opening and closing our precious hearts. It's like driving a Ferrari and switching back and forth between pushing the gas and the brake, and then wondering why we aren't getting the optimal results out of our high-performance vehicle. Singer suggests that once we become aware of this process by which we receive energy from the infinitely abundant source, we can then consciously choose to always leave our heart open. Over time, as you train yourself to maintain an open heart no matter what transpires, you become a vessel of overflowing universal love energy. You become like a cup that is spilling out the abundance of the universe all around you. Attitude of gratitude. When your heart is open and the abundance of the universe is flowing through you, you will begin to see the silver lining in every rain cloud. You will start to realize that every lump of coal you receive is really just a diamond in disguise, waiting for you to apply the alchemical perspective necessary to transmute it into its highest potential. You become adept at training your eye to see the good in everything and to see the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see, as Dr. Wayne Dyer once said. As a result, an attitude of gratitude naturally emerges as a byproduct of viewing your life through this much rosier lens. And gratitude is the doorway to attracting more of what we want to see in our world. On a physical level, tuning into joy and gratitude induces a somatic experience, which actually ripples these divine vibrations throughout your cells that not only positively affect you emotionally and spiritually, but also physically. Remember, as a chip off the block of the creator and created rolled into one, so to speak, whatever energy we are emanating, we are creating and attracting more of into our life. So when we are in a state of appreciation or gratitude, we are calling in more experiences that our natural reaction is to be grateful for. If you want to unlock a better job, generate more money, or attract fulfilling relationships, then embracing where you are currently in your journey is the first step. Trust that you are exactly where you are meant to be. You aren't too late and you aren't too early. You are exactly on time. Even if you don't prefer what is currently showing up in your life, realize it is much more about the attitude you bring than it is the details surrounding the given situation. Trust that you need the contrast of this experience to fully appreciate where you are headed next, and this is how you transmute it and move through it. What you resist persists. What you accept, you move through. Get to the root of the matter. As we explore this idea of love, appreciation, and gratitude, consider your ancestors for a moment. In order for you to be born, an astronomical number of other souls had to exist first. Mainstream science estimates modern humans have been around for between 200 to 300,000 years, and many believe we go back much further than that. However, if you go back just 12 generations over the last 400 years or so, you have over 4,000 grandparents. Think for a moment about how many difficulties, triumphs, hurts, loves, and losses had to transpire for you to arrive here in this now moment. For me personally, my grandfather, who was in the Navy and stationed at Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941, is a great example. When his ship, the Utah, was bombed and ultimately sunk, he had to jump and swim for his life. If he hadn't made it out alive, like many of his shipmates, you would not be reading these words right now. The truth of the matter is, we are all so very loved that countless souls gave everything for us to be here now. The innumerable choice points, serendipities, and decisions that had to weave together like a perfectly woven tapestry for you to be here is truly breathtaking. Expand out this concept even further and consider that the heart of the universe is conscious emotion, energy in motion, and that it is still expanding and evolving. And up to this moment, it has gone through approximately 14 billion years of evolution to come to the point where it has evolved into you. So whenever you begin to doubt yourself, just remember that you're the tip of the evolutionary spear of a universe that has sacrificed everything for you to exist. The gift of forgiveness. I believe we need to go back even farther than the creation of the universe to truly understand the backstory of our existence and to trace love back to the root of its origins. The highly official text I like to reference to fully understand humankind's origin story is a children's book written by Neil Donald Walsh titled The Little Soul in the Sun. In the book, the sun is used as a metaphor for God, and the little soul, which represents us as humans, is one of infinite little lights that make up the entirety of the sun. At the beginning, the little soul is blissfully floating in eternity, experiencing the perfection of its exquisite existence, surrounded by a sea of other incredibly stunning lights.
Then one day, a new thought occurs to the curious little soul. The idea of experiencing something besides bliss, love, and harmony. Ultimately, the concept of forgiveness occurs to the little soul. So the soul begins a dialogue with the sun, expressing interest in experiencing forgiveness. All the other souls are fascinated by this dialogue transpiring between the little soul and the sun, as it is completely uncharted territory. Forgiveness? But what to forgive in this eternal perfection? The sun goes on to ultimately say that he knew an adventurous little soul would eventually come up with something like this, and that he indeed had a plan. It would require sending the soul to another place outside of perfection, followed by a second soul that would need to lower their vibration and dim their light so much that they would ultimately forget who and what they were and where they came from. Only then could the circumstances be created so that a horrible act in need of forgiveness could authentically be executed. In the moment of the grand unveiling of the plan, a second brave little soul steps forward and says that he will play along and volunteer to lower his vibration and dim his light enough to do this horrible act, so that the first little soul can experience the gift of forgiveness. The second soul makes only one request of the first little soul. In the moment that I strike you and smite you, in the moment that I do the worst to you that you could possibly imagine, in that very moment, remember who I really am. Because in the moment, his vibration will have been lowered so much so that he will surely have forgotten himself. And if the first soul did not remember him, he may stay lost in a lower vibrational state for a very, very long time. I believe this is essentially humankind's origin story. And at various points in your evolution, you have been both the first soul and the second soul. But as you read these words, you are the first soul. I believe you were loved so very much that other souls stepped forward and lost themselves as a gift to you. Now it is your job to hold up your end of the bargain and see the light in others, especially those that have hurt you. See the light in others and treat them as if that is all you see. I strongly encourage any kids between the ages of 1 and 111 to get The Little Soul in the Sun, to experience this beautiful story in its entirety. There's a French expression that summarizes this beautiful lesson perfectly. Tout comprendre, c'est tout pardonner. To understand all is to forgive all. The new you. As you begin to flap your new butterfly wings, to let what comes come and to let what goes go, floating through eternity, admiring the exquisite perfection of the dance of life, relaxing into the understanding that everyone is always getting what they need to become the next greatest and grandest version of themselves, all closed-minded judgments begin to melt away. Now that you hold the key to love what comes, and you understand that it is all happening for love, regardless of how it looks on the surface, your life will begin to transform in miraculous ways. You will begin to unlock doors that were previously barred shut as you merge with your higher self, which is now further integrated and aligned with your physical being and seeing the world through your eyes. As a result, all of the gifts of manifestation and the infinite power of your higher self to alchemize every situation into a golden opportunity now become accessible to you as you step into the profound realization that abundance is your birthright, the quintessence of your being. All right, everyone, that concludes today's reading from The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. Hope you have enjoyed. Be sure and go to the link in the show notes to join the private Facebook group, the Golden Game Keymasters, where we'll be participating in some abundance manifestation exercises collectively, supporting one another on that journey. And also remember, you can get the book, your own copy of the audio or ebook, at goldenkey.gift using the code POSITIVEHEAD. You'll get the audio or ebook for free. Otherwise, until next time, journey well. Love you so, so much.